Wednesday night dynamite.
So dynamite.
This is awesome. Did you get? Hey, everybody. Have a great time.
I'm not one of these fucking goof podcasters out there. I am Don Tony. Wednesday night, dynamite! I should do this in the Kermit the Frog voice, but I'm kind of tired, I'm annoyed, and we just finished the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, but for everyone out there, it's the new annual tradition, and I don't mean WrestleMania, but for the second year in a row, we had a piss, poor, pathetic, god awful, you never want your wrestling fan audience to chant bullshit, and your competition, the second year in a row, a fucking god awful Hell in a Cell main event. For those that don't remember last year, it was Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman, Mick Foley the referee, weeks and weeks, changes lives, the Cell, all these highlights and blah, 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 blah. And then Brock Lesnar rips the cage door down, attacks both of them, and we get no winner. And the crowd chanted bullshit last year. They chanted bullshit this year. And AEW as well. What's up, everyone? It is Sunday night, October 6, 2019. Welcome to this WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view recap. I am Don Tony. He is
Kev Castle.
I tell you, this is going to be the shortest pay-per-view recap that we have ever done. I understand now why they did not advertise like five or six matches. And what does that say about the wrestlers themselves? That WWE does not have enough faith in advertising your match in advance that they have to spring it onto people literally a half an hour before. The fuck were they thinking?
I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, you know, we were just saying, let's just get right into it. I mean, we can go from chronological order, but I'm still reeling from this. I mean, we go right, well, as you say, we don't take a break. We go right into this show.
Yeah.
So we're on super real passion right now. Would you say that's
fair? We're not, the pay-per-view is not even over 2 minutes yet. Yeah. Now, I'll say this right off the bat. Anybody that follows WWE's website closely knows they have a lot of young, inexperienced, non-longtime wrestling fans that'll do the site because sometimes they'll do countdowns. And yes, you want to put over the current talent, but they make mistakes. It's inaccurate. There's a lot of errors at times. And ever since Joey Styles left WWE when he used to be in charge of a lot of the website work, the website is god awful pathetic. And early last week, there was a poll put up on WWE's website. I read it. I wrote it off as some dumb moron. I don't want to say the P word. I'm trying to clean up my vulgar language a little bit. But a dumb moron on the website. There's no such thing as a DQ in a Hell in a Cell match. Because what the poll was who do you think is going to win, or what's going to be the outcome of Hell in a Cell? Like, how is it going to end? And it said pin, submission, DQ. And you had a whole bunch of people on social media complaining like, DQ, what are you, nuts? Why would you even put that in the options? I didn't even say a word about it because I just wanted to write it off as an idiot, a moron, and someone who can't figure out what the third option should be in the poll, but they put DQ anyway. Well, tonight, that's what we got. I don't fucking get it. I don't get it. Tell me, what do you accomplish by this? I just don't understand the meaning, the logic of this. And I understand they're the professionals. They know what they're doing. But you didn't learn nothing from last year's Hell in a Cell. If it's not broken, why are they trying to fix it? Last year, they have a no contest because of Brock Lesnar. The fans chanted bullshit. It was just really, really horrendous. And anybody, I invite people to do the research. I saw a substantial change in the ratings after that main event last year. Go look. You'll see what I'm talking about. And I don't think that will repeat this year, because the fans are getting more and more behind the Fiend because of this clusterfuck. And I think they should rename Seth. I've coined him Seth freaking Scaredy Cat. I think WWE should rename him Roman Rollins, because he has now become the new Roman Reigns. Yeah. The fans are shitting him out the building. It's not because he's involved with Becky Lynch. He's Seth freaking Scaredy Cat. This is, it's horrendous. And I don't blame him personally, but Seth, I'm telling you, man, your character is God fucking awful right now.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. He's probably one of the, you know, and I'm going to echo other people's comments, not yours, DT, but other podcasts. Rollins probably might be the worst babyface champion. He doesn't elicit any sympathy. At least Roman got a little bit of sympathy. He had some fan support. He can't hold a crowd. He can't garner any human emotion. His emotion that we've seen the last couple of weeks has been afraid and scared and screaming in a corner while the Fiend is looking at him, crawling in the ring. What is this? I've never seen Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Randy Savage, big time. He's the big time face of this fucking company. And what are they portraying him as? I don't know what he is.
See, I blame WWE for a lot of this, but the thing is that Seth Rollins, it's his job to sometimes take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad.
Dusty Rhodes said that many a year. Yeah.
And we go back to him facing Baron Corbin with Lacey Evans as the referee. And yes, we blame a lot of it on WWE. But it gets to a point where the champion, the face of the company, needs to take responsibility. I mean, come on. It was 2 years ago, I think, with him and Dean Ambrose. Was that the match where the fans were doing the countdown for the Royal Rumble? And he's like, look, everybody, I own this. It's on me. This one's on me. How many years is it on you? I look
at him and Ziggler when they were doing that countdown.
Yeah, Ziggler. I look at him, and to me, what he looks like is like a fill-in actor for some Jesus Christ like remake
superstar.
He looks like a stand-in for like a Jesus Christ documentary. He looks like you should nail his hands to the cross. I mean, that's what I felt like tonight. It felt like Pontius Pilate versus Jesus Christ. He's got the beard, he's got the hair. The only thing he's missing is the fucking nails in the hands. I don't like it. And I'm telling you, man, WWE, yeah, they're a billion-dollar company. They don't have no worries about AEW or any other promotion right now. And that's not throwing shade on AEW. But who backstage looks at this and says, yeah, let's do this, yeah. You can't just write it off like, oh, well, you know, 1 week, everybody will forget about it because we're going to shake it up. You know, I don't get this. This is, and plus on top of it, and I don't know if anybody even, you know, looked at that at the end. You know, we had the horrendous horror film like storyline in the match tonight. Seth Rollins is trying to kill the demon. He's using chairs. It's like a bad Halloween film where you use.
Like a takeoff on Friday the 13th where they keep throwing everything but the kitchen sink at him. But at the end,
when Bray Wyatt hit the mandible claw on him, they used the fake blood and it looked like there was like a pool of like blood and spit all over the place. It's fucking pathetic. I don't know what demographic they're trying to get, you know, and this was just horrendous. This was pathetic.
Just to give props to some of the guys in the chat room, shout out to all you guys who are joining us. Legend Killer says, these guys don't know how to tell stories. You're right, DT. It's on some of these guys. They've been here for years now. They can't put sympathy. They can't garner any kind of...
Let me say this. I'm a big fan of Bray Wyatt. So are you for a very long time. Yeah. This is way before The Fiend.
Since day one.
And let me say this. I'm not saying this because we're big fans, but nothing tonight was Bray Wyatt's fault. Why?
I agree.
Because the crowd was completely behind him. But the thing is, Bray Wyatt's been choking out Mick Foley, Kurt Angle, and us. Sure, WWE wants the fans to be fans of Bray Wyatt because they want him to buy the puppets. They want him to buy the shirts. They want him to do the stuff. Bray Wyatt's doing fucking, you know, TV stations and doing weather recaps and doing the yowie wowie and this. I mean, WWE wants the fans to be into Bray Wyatt. But the story being told is that Bray Wyatt is evil. He's the heel. And Seth Rollins is a babyface. And I don't blame anything that happened tonight on Bray Wyatt. This is just pathetic. And Seth Rollins, yeah, maybe he had a ladder to climb up tonight because Bray Wyatt's got momentum. So you expected fans to pop a little bit for Bray Wyatt. But this booing in Seth Rollins is not overnight. This has been building for a while. It may have been a little bit louder tonight before the match even occurred. But this, I don't know what purpose this was other than, look, we got to fill in a week before the draft. And, you know, once everybody's drafted, and I'll say this also, Becky Lynch retained tonight to the surprise of a lot of people, including
me. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But when I did the show on Patreon Friday, I told everyone two things. I said, number one, it's going to be interesting to see if WWE does separate Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch from the brands. And if one person loses the title, the other person needs to lose the title. All right. Now, I still think that there is a big possibility that one or both of them could be losing the title in the next week or two. Hell, something could happen on Raw tomorrow. But the second thing that I said over the weekend, I said it last week, and I think I even said it on DTKC last Monday. I said, do not convince yourself that Bray Wyatt was winning the title this time around. There could be some clusterfuck, or maybe he's handcuffed to the ropes or something that's going to prevent him from winning. Now, we didn't get that actual finish, but we end Hell in a Cell with Seth Rollins still a champion, with Becky Lynch still a champion, and with WWE now on Fox, you could see the big guns, the big dog, you know, Charlotte, you know, you see what WWE is starting to mold for SmackDown.
Yeah.
Remember when I say this, and I think a lot of you out there have probably been thinking it for a while, maybe weren't sure. We won't know technically till after the draft, but I guarantee everybody out there that a month from now, maybe sooner, maybe a little later, but a month from now, it will be clear, clear, clear. Something that we haven't seen in 20 years, even though in the early 2000s, you and I liked SmackDown better than Raw because Paul Heyman was doing a book over there. But within a month, fans are going to say WWE has now made SmackDown the flagship show and Raw is the secondary show. SmackDown will be the flagship show because of not only the TV deal with Fox and everything else, but when you see who gets drafted over, when you see where these storylines go. I mean, if you think about it, you know, it's almost common sense. You could see where it's going. It's not going to be completely lopsided because USA Network is still, you know, a big deal, and it is a top show on cable on Mondays. So they're not going to just forget about USA Network, you know, because if USA and Raw starts really hurting in ratings and advertising revenue, it'll hurt the stock. And the stock, they don't have a stock for Raw and a stock for SmackDown, a stock for NXT. It's for the whole company. Exactly. But, you know, you want to get right into it?
Yeah, you want to get in from start to finish?
Yeah, sure. I mean, because like I said, I mean, once we go through these matches, I mean, this is going to be the shortest recap.
Let's just go chronological order.
And honestly, I don't think it deserves
It doesn't.
The kickoff show, first of all, WWE Hell in a Cell took place at in Sacramento, California at the Golden One Center. The kickoff show had Natty defeat Lacey Evans, and the feud that we never knew that we needed, it will carry over to Raw tomorrow because tomorrow on Raw it's going to be a last woman standing match between the two, but you know, typical pre-show match, nothing special. I like the nice moonsault that Lacey Evans did. Something tells me that that may be trimmed down a little bit because my girlfriend actually thought that was Charlotte doing the moonsault off the rope.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, but what'd you think of the match?
It's okay. I mean, I can get into making fun of Natty all day long, but I like Lacey Evans because I think she has an upside that maybe some other people don't see. So obviously, Lacey can get a big win tomorrow night to continue to push her. Natty is declining. Natty's got trainer, an NXT or agent in her future. She's not long, I think, for active in-ring competition. Mm. I think her job is to put Lacey over at this point.
Yeah. Even though she won tonight, you know,
yeah, she won tonight,
it can't be Lapsa. Yeah, she can't win every match. But, no. Well, you know, it was an okay match. Nothing spectacular. I mean, I will say this. I like how they're using Lacey Evans right now for the simple reason that there's not a whole lot of focus on her. You know, I think they made the mistake by having her, you know, walk out.
Too much too soon.
Yeah, with the Emma type, you know, thing where she just comes out, looks at everybody, leaves for a couple of months. I think it was a little too much. But, you know, now we get into the Hell in a Cell match, pay-per-view itself. Opening match, Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Championship. They really told a great story in this match.
I liked it.
Very physical. 10 times better than Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first time ever's for the women sometimes jinxed them a little too much added pressure. But this match was great. I know a lot of us expected Sasha Banks to win simply for the number one reason that Becky Lynch is rumored to be going to SmackDown. It would be fascinating if Becky and Seth ended up remaining on Raw after the draft is done. But wouldn't it be something if they had Becky Lynch and Charlotte change brands and they trade the belts? What I mean by that is if Charlotte moves to Raw, you know, then she could be the Raw Women's Champion and Becky could go to SmackDown and be the SmackDown. The problem is, if you ask me who should be on SmackDown, Becky Lynch or Charlotte, I go with Charlotte 1,000 times over.
Me too, yeah.
Because of the sports aspect of it. This is Fox, and you see the sports influence on it. Aaron Andrews, MMA, boxing. They're incorporating all facets of sports in this. We haven't seen baseball or anything like that yet. But Charlotte is, and I don't want to take anything away from Becky, but Charlotte is more of an athlete.
Well, I mean, that's what, I mean, even Shezzy's saying, credit due. Charlotte looks like a superstar. I've said that all the time. I don't care what haters say. Charlotte looks like a player. She does. It's not just because she's Ric Flair's daughter. She's fucking good. Sometimes she flubs, but everybody does. But Charlotte is a fucking star. Becky's a star, but Charlotte, I think the perception from the public might be, and especially in Fox, don't you think, DT, that Charlotte fits that mold better?
Sure. Becky, with the whole man thing, it's more of a character gimmick, you know, just, you know, like a character about her. She's more of a character than Charlotte, even though Charlotte is very charismatic. You know, she can cut a promo on the mic, you know, to probably as best as any woman out there. Becky Lynch, I think, would be better suited on Raw. And the more I'm thinking about it, you know, makes me feel like Seth Rollins is going to keep this belt going into Saudi Arabia. Or, you know, hey, maybe we'll get a surprise and he loses on Raw because isn't Seth Rollins, someone correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Seth Rollins in that Team Hogan versus Team Flair, even though last week I said, wouldn't it be something if Bray Wyatt is, you know, part of Team Flair, even though it would be stupid to have him standing next to other wrestlers right now. He's a monster. Monsters don't hang out with other people.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, even though Strowman, when he was doing his monster thing, he put things aside to team with people. But I'm thinking, DT, do you think, and like I said, I'm just thinking like a company owner who wants to satisfy the fans, stupid thing.
I know you're going to say. Say it.
That they're going to put something up, make a big change, title change, or something big tomorrow night to make up for this horrible ending tonight.
Oh, I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say what you said the other day about Brock Lesnar taking Seth's belt also and having both belts.
Oh, yeah, I thought that, too. I thought that, too. But I'm thinking now, the way they went off the air, don't you think there's panic mode in the back?
Well,
like, we got to do something.
You know what? After I invite people to rewatch Strowman versus Reigns last year. I don't think if there was panic mode, it would have been last year. Because
first, yeah, but DT, we got the looming AEW cloud on their fucking back right now. You don't think that's a factor?
Look, I'm not saying this to throw shade at AEW. And I even said on social media last week, anybody that compares AEW to Raw or SmackDown right now is a fool, because they had their first show, growing pains. They have to see what clicks and what doesn't. You know, they have to manage time. There's so much that they have to
do. Oh, no, I agree with you. And it's anything brand new comes out the box big.
Right,
everybody.
But the thing is, right now, AEW's got Sunday Night Heat ratings. You know what I'm saying? Like
That's true. That's true.
You look at TNA 5-6 years ago, it's, you know, similar. And I know it's people are going to say, well, 5-6 years ago, TNA was around for a very long time. That's why I don't compare AEW to WWE stuff. But at the same time, though, you don't want they congratulated AEW. It was a classy thing to do. Obviously, by doing that, they name dropped them. So now they don't have to worry about people trying to troll them using the letters, and they just ignore it. So they threw it out there, blew their load with it, done. But the last thing that they want now is to piss off the fans. And then the fans chant AEW in response.
Yeah, because they can't block that out, DT. I don't care what kind of audio stuff they have. They're not going to be able to block that out in the arena.
Yeah.
With mass fans chanting it.
Listen, when WCW was around, it just didn't sound right to go WCW. It just doesn't flow. You know, you would chant ECW for hardcore and hard work and spots and effort, but it was never done to slight the wrestlers. It was always as a compliment. But back then, you would have some subtle TNA chants from here, you know, from time to time. But TNA, you know, was mostly a pay company when it first started. Was only a pay company. No, and then, you know, we know the history of TNA. But AEW right now, it's on TNT. It's got a big time money guy behind it. It's got a lot of wrestlers who are really hungry that want to make history and want to make this succeed. So even though WWE may not be sweating it right now, you don't want to piss your fans off to give them. Put it this way. Was any other match tonight getting AEW chants?
What was that, DT?
Was there any other match tonight getting AEW chants?
No, absolutely. I listened for it because I had a feeling. But it's California. It's kind of relaxed, chill area. I actually know somebody who's at the arena tonight from a band, and they've said it's usually a chill crowd.
Right. But the point is that the fans that were there were not there to instigate. Because
no, they weren't. They weren't. They felt disappointed. They were pissed off. You could tell.
But
you could
throughout the night, if they just wanted to instigate WWE,
they would have started it early.
They would have done AEW chants all night long just to do it. The fact that they did not do it at all in you know loud chants is because they were satisfied with what they were watching. I mean, if there was ever a match earlier in the night that you thought you were going to get it, it was Corbin versus Gable, because there was a lot of lulls and it went on a little bit too long. But they didn't even get it there, because up until this point, the pay-per-view was okay. But when you give people what you gave tonight, that's going to haunt Rollins for a while. This is going to carry on. So having a title change tomorrow, although that would be great to take away from this quickly, you still caused a lot of damage to Seth Rollins, because the fans are not going to, you know, when fans boo and cheer, or if they don't like a storyline, or if they just think something on TV is god-awful, they know Lashley and Lana that didn't just go out there and make out because they just felt like it and nobody told them to do it. So if fans are really angry and uncomfortable, they're angry at WWE for doing that. You know, they know Rusev looked like a goof standing in the ring, you know, like just watching
watching.
But it's not Rusev's fault. That's the storyline that WWE did. So you don't get mad at the particular wrestlers. But in this case, you know, the fans are not going to cheer Seth Rollins and go, yeah, you know, the character sucks, but it's not his fault. No, if it sucks,
no.
The fans booing Rollins out of the building is their way of telling WWE, this sucks. He sucks as champion right now. Don't know what the fuck you did with his character, but he went from fucking wrestling almost an hour on Raw to Seth freaking Scaredy Cat. You know, with his mouth open, scared of fucking the Fiend. I don't know what I'm going to do, and this and that. Horrendous. But Becky Lynch and Sasha, great story, very physical, very creative with their spots. And, you know, in the end, we had Sasha Banks lose to the Disarmer about 20 minutes. My favorite match of the night.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great match. I told you I've had a turnaround with Sasha. I'm not even just trolling people on Twitter. I really do actually like Sasha now. I'm just enjoying her more. I thought it was a good match. You know, again, you know, Becky, she's had better matches in NXT with Bayley. I know all that shit. But Becky and her worked well together tonight. I personally, I don't even need to wait to the end of this show. I thought it was match of the night, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, Becky and Sasha, Four Horsewomen, I've been saying for a few months right now that the Four Horsewomen expect them to be what the Usos and the New Day were for the tag division. Everything is going to circle around them. And it's no change right now. But Becky and Sasha have been working with each other for many, many years. So they should be able to pull off a great match. It's just that we haven't seen them in Hell in a Cell, and they utilized, they didn't have to climb the top of the cage. They didn't have to do any very, you know, high risque spots. They utilized what they needed to utilize. Fans loved it. They picked up on what fans really, really were into. And kudos to both of them. Look, just because Sasha Banks returns, changes her hair, has that, you know, smug look on her face that now I'm, you know, a big fan of hers. I'm still not, but I have to give credit where credit is due. She worked her ass off tonight, and she returned, and she was not given a championship right away. And I don't think anybody tonight felt like, oh, see, they're back to treating Sasha Banks like shit. She's getting that title. It just may not happen as quickly as some people expect it to happen.
No, exactly. And then it's too expected if she gets it. Oh, she just resigned for 5 years. The rumor is that, you know, that's why they're giving it to her. No, let it continue. This is a good battle between these two. Becky has, by the way, DT, if Becky does get past her, who does Becky fight next? There's nobody.
Well, there's nobody. It's, you know, look, I think that they're prepping up Lacey Evans. I'm not saying
again.
No, it's not going to be Lacey versus Becky. That's definitely not happening again. But they're going to morph something. I mean, we have to wait until after Raw and after the draft. We have to, because even if Raw ends tomorrow and Becky and Seth are still champions, all right, the draft doesn't start until Friday, and champions, I mean, we've had in the past, I think Finn Balor may have been one. I don't remember who it was, but there was someone who was drafted to the other brand and they lost the title the same night or a couple of days later. So there's title changes could happen in the next 2 weeks. In fact, I expect it to happen. So just because, you know, she retained tonight doesn't mean that she has that belt 2 weeks from now. So we got to get past the draft, the complete draft, and then look at the roster and figure out, because remember too, we have some people in NXT that might come up to the main roster.
Talking about almost, it's a given, people are saying that Riddle is coming up, which makes sense. They have nowhere for him to go. He's done with his program with Cole. Balor and Ciampa coming in.
I don't see that.
But Riddle's got nowhere to go. Where's he going to go?
Let him stay there.
No, but he's got, the champions are tied up with two or three other guys now in line in front of Riddle. What is Riddle doing in the meantime?
I don't see Riddle coming up right now.
I don't know. We'll see.
I'd be surprised. Look, I thought the match last week that he had was the best match of the night.
Oh, so did I. I was on the edge. I was actually like animated watching it, which is rare for me these days.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll come up. But look, let's wait and see what the draft does.
Yeah, let's see. I always say wait and see. Sure.
Now, one thing I have to jump ahead about. The one thing I will criticize Sasha Banks thing for, and I don't know why WWE did close-ups on her face and Bayley's face tonight. I don't know if they're intentionally trying to ultimately carry this where both Sasha and Bayley are crying. Bayley was a lot more forced, obviously, because they just kept the camera on her until she was crying. But you know, as I'm looking at Sasha and they have the close-up on her face and her eyes are all glassy. And it's, the thing that echoed in my mind is what echoed in my mind a couple of years ago. A boss does not fucking cry. Sorry. You know what I mean? And my Amazon Echo thing in the background is starting to talk because I said Echo.
But, I gotcha.
But no, I mean, a boss doesn't fucking weep and cry. It's not that character. And especially she comes out, she's angry, she makes a return, you know, tells Natty, tell your daddy in hell or whatever she says. And then she loses the match and she's crying or... You know, I know Ben is saying pouting. Glassy eyes goes beyond pouting. You know,
she was crying. There were tears coming out of her eyes. Yeah,
glassy eyes. And look, it doesn't mean that she was legitimately sad that she lost. I mean, they probably wanted her to be emotional. I mean, you know, an actor's hint, and I'm sure John will say this and some others listening, Jason too, that when you're acting and you have to do a scene where you're crying or very, really, really sad, they tell you to think about a loved one who is, or a pet who has passed on. If I think long and hard enough of my dog, I'll start weeping tears easily.
Oh, me too. Anytime I think of my father.
Yeah. But Sasha, I mean, you know, doing a close up with her eyes glassy, I'm like, that ain't a fucking boss. That's a sissy. You know, it's not the boss. A boss.
If anything, she should have like, I'm going to get you, motherfucker, look on her face, like, I'm not done with you, that kind of look.
Yeah, it was just the tear thing was horrendous. But now we get the tornado match, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns beating Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. I thought a very entertaining match. You know, there was some spots that Daniel Bryan took that got me a little bit nervous. The powerbomb on top.
Yeah.
You know, taking things for that when they were standing on the table. I like the match. I just, you know, I explained this on Friday. I understand that based after the draft, you know, Daniel Bryan needs to fill a void that, you know, I'm not saying Kofi doesn't fill it anymore, but, and I'm not saying Daniel Bryan is championship bound anytime soon, but Daniel Bryan's going to need to fill a little void for WWE. I didn't think they should have tweaked this character. What he did the last 2 months, I thought, was some of his best heel work ever. But, you know, what I did not like after the match was over, Roman Reigns wants to shake his hand. Daniel Bryan insists on having a hug. I didn't like
it. You don't like it? I mean, I mean, I thought it was okay. I mean, I wasn't sure that, listen, I'm sure a lot of you guys in the chat, maybe even you, DT, were watching saying he's going to turn. Something's going to happen here. There's no, not even at the end of the match, but even during the course of the match. But I'll say this, Reigns and Daniel Bryan for top guys, they allow their opponents to fuck them up. They sell like motherfuckers, don't they, DT?
Yeah, both great. Of them. They're great.
They're great. They are very giving as top baby faces and as top guys. They give their bodies to anybody. They made Rowan, you know, that expression, they made him look strong. Rowan and Harper are strong in general, but they're not that over with the crowd. The crowd was a little silent when they were like, wow, they keep beating up. Is Reigns and Bryan going to get any defense in here, offense? And they give a lot of themselves, both of those guys. And I thought they worked good together. It was kind of like a super team up when you think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the ending was kind of anticlimactic, but the crowd seemed to like it. Nobody.
No, of course. I mean, look, the crowd is there, live show. Yeah. You're into whatever's out there. It's just, you know, I think a little bit more detailed than we're not there live. So, of course, I'm going to think more detailed. But, you know, when you have Daniel Bryan cut a promo less than a week before saying the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
It's my friend. Yeah.
The enemy of your enemy is your friend, but you don't hug the enemy of your enemy. He's still an enemy in the end. You both have a common enemy, which is why you pair up, but you don't hug who is really your enemy, but you're teaming up because he's the enemy of your enemy. You know, you just don't do that. It was just me just being detailed.
Okay, but DT, do you think that's a message sent to the fans that, yes, Daniel Bryan is now a babyface? You may continue cheering him now. He's a good guy again. He hugged Roman Reigns, didn't attack him. He's on this side now.
They've been building this since Rowan attacked him. I mean,
I'm saying, but there was doubt. There was a little bit of a cloud of doubt that Bryan maybe was even cahoots with those
guys. Daniel Bryan's character will not be the baby face yes movement from yesteryear. He will still have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and the whole eco-friendly stuff, WWE's got a little challenge there. They have to figure out, you know, how to deal with that. Obviously, they don't put him in situations where he has to deal with it, but, you know, right now, you know, we got to wait for the draft to see how they fill that void. But right now, it's fine to cheer for Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Sure. Next, we had Randy Orton beating Ali. Ali doesn't do anything for me right now. When we get to awards at the end of the year, I'm warning you now, and I'm warning everybody out there right now. You know, when we get to the topic as far as, you know, storyline that should have happened that didn't happen, I still say to this day, you know, when they had Dolph Ziggler return and do that whole horrendous thing with Kofi Kingston, it should have been me.
Yeah.
Ali, I said this months ago, Ali should have been the one to turn heel, attack Kofi Kingston, and he's the one that should have said, it should have been me. I should have gotten that spot, but I was injured. You never gave me my opportunity. It should have been me. That storyline would have been perfect for Ali, but they didn't want him to be a heel. Obviously, if you look at his social media a little bit closer, you see exactly, you know, the role model character that they're trying to have him be. So they weren't going to go there. Plus, I think, I'm going to just say it, I think WWE was afraid of having Ali heel, because look at with Jinder Mahal. When Jinder Mahal was big time heel, and he technically still is, you know, you would have like some really horrendous, you know, racial overtones on social media and the stereotype of, you know, someone who's Indian or so. I think they just wanted to avoid that abuse on Ali, and they wanted him to be the clean cut, you know, young role model, and they wouldn't even go that route. But, you know, Randy Orton, it felt like Randy Orton, you know, gave a lot. I'm not saying Randy Orton doesn't give effort, but when Randy Orton nodded in the end, it kind of reminded me a little bit of when Undertaker nodded for Jeff Hardy back in the day. Like Randy Orton is saying, like, you know, I think Randy Orton is now the new Undertaker in the sense that he may not be in that locker room every single day, but he is like the leader that you have to get the approval of. Not saying it's on the level of Undertaker of yesteryear, but I think Randy Orton gave his seal of approval about Ali after that match was over. I liked it. It wasn't, you know, an outstanding match, but they did good for the 12 minutes that they did. It was a solid match.
Well, it's funny because my problem with Ali is that he, in real life, a good guy, a cop, a community guy who helps his community, family man, beautiful family, wife and kids. But for some reason, he's having a problem connecting again to the audience from a live show perspective, where they'll clap for the flips and some of the high spots that he does. But it's not a real, like, Chad Gable is grabbing the audience that way. How come Ali is not able to?
I'll tell you why. Because Gable for a while was just in mid-card limbo, and Chad Gable was just putting out the effort. WWE wasn't putting a lot of focus on him. And I'm talking about after him being with Shelton Benjamin. But Gable, and even with his other partner who's on the shelf right now, I'm drawing a blank right now, Kurt Angle's son. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Jason Jordan.
Yeah, Jason Jordan. But the thing is that with Chad Gable, it felt organic. Yes, he was putting the King of the Ring tournament, but, you know, he just did what he needed to do, and the fans got behind it. With Ali, it felt forced. They took him from 205 Live. They put him on the main roster, and you asked yourself, why are they putting him on the main roster? It did, and then you started hearing rumors, you know, that, you know, maybe you get a championship match, and then he was going to be in the elimination chamber, and then they're doing Reach for the Light, and this and that. And even though Ali's a good guy, fans don't want to be forced to like something. Mike, your best bargain, I think I was telling him the other day through one of the shows, you know, when people start trying to force you to like something, you get turned off of it even more, even though you may not technically dislike, you know, the particular person. And that's what happens with Ali. Nobody out there dislikes Ali. I don't dislike him at all. But the problem is that instead of him organically, you know, being on 205 Live and having fans say, you just like what you said about Riddle. You said, oh, Riddle's got, you know, he needs to come up to the main roster. What else did he do? I'm totally cool with and someone's opinion like that. With Ali, you didn't hear that back then. You didn't hear fans saying, you know, Ali,
he should be up to the main roster.
Yeah, he's got to go up to the main roster.
No, what they said, DT, is that they need him at there because he was one of the most exciting guys in that division.
That's WWE saying that. The fans were not saying that.
That's true, yeah.
If the fans were saying Ali's got to come to the main roster. I mean, there's a lot of fans that think Adam Cole should be brought to the main roster.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there's also a lot of other fans.
Velveteen Dream.
But you hear fans saying that. You didn't hear them saying that about Ali. You know, and then they had to fuck with his name. I don't know why. What was so wrong with Mustafa? I mean, you know, again, with the autographs. You know, look at Bray Wyatt's autograph now. I mean, everybody in WWE has almost very... I'm surprised Braun Strowman hasn't been just called Strowman or Braun. Because that guy signs autographs. You know, I got to look at his autograph. I have a couple autographs from Braun Strowman. I got to see how he signed. I think he signed
BS.
No. If it was, I would have remembered it. But, you know, I remember Big E when he was Big E Langston. And he would sign it pretty nice and detailed. Now it's just Big E. And, you know, even trying to think who else now that does that. I can't remember right now, but somebody.
Well, even Baron Corbin, that's a pain in the ass to have to write that all the way out.
Yeah.
I mean, just the one word is obviously, if they're thinking that, DT, you think they're really thinking that? Well, autograph sessions, merch, it's easier to have a shorter name.
You know? Oh, yeah. Sure. Because ask yourself, why do you need to abbreviate someone's name? And the funny thing is, and I've joked about it ever since, when you hear them announce Ali, it sounds like two names. If you never watched wrestling and you were disabled and you were blind as a bat, you couldn't see nothing, and somebody, you know, you haven't watched wrestling in 20 years and you're sitting in a fucking hospital because you're blind and you say to the fucking nurse, you know, put on wrestling, I want to see wrestling. You listen to Greg Hamilton call out Ali, you would think, oh, this is a Japanese wrestler. Because when he announces him, he goes, Ah, Lee. Sounds like a fucking Japanese wrestler's name.
That's true.
You know, you condensed him from two names to one. And now when you announce him, it still sounds like two names.
You're right.
But, Randy Orton wins, RKO out of nowhere. I loved, let me tell you something. 99.9% of everybody out there did not see this. I did. And I'm not saying it that I'm better or anything like that, but I'm saying it because little things like this is what I like. If you watch again when Ali countered the RKO and he did almost like a handstand and kicked out of, you know, like countered it, in the background, you have Corey Graves on commentary. And just look at Corey Graves. Corey Graves literally, I don't want to say he put his hands on his desk and looked up, but he had this look on his face like, holy shit. That, you know, like it was impressive. I mean, that caught everybody by surprise, him countering the RKO like that. But if you look at Corey Graves' reaction in the background, Corey Graves actually got into that as well. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I thought that was really cool.
Good observation.
Yeah. Next, another title change. We didn't even know this tag match was going to happen until about a half an hour before the pay-per-view, but the Kabuki Warriors beat Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross for the tag titles. I'm not going to lie. This is, putting the title change aside, this was probably my least liked match of the night. Agreed. Because Kairi Sane and Asuka, nothing against Alexa Bliss. Not really anything against Nikki Cross also. But Kairi Sane and Asuka tonight showed why Alexa Bliss has no business being a champion right now. It has nothing to do with the injury. But when you have Alexa Bliss in the ring with Asuka or Kairi Sane, Kairi Sane and Asuka have to do their wrestling repertoire. If you have a record that's supposed to be 78 speed, and yes, I'm doing a very outdated reference, but this is the only way. I'll do a better one. If you if you're baking a cake and you look at the recipe book and it says to blend this motherfucker on extra high for 2 minutes, all right, trust me, when you try to make that cake and one of the ingredients in it is Alexa Bliss, you have to put the speed on super, super low. And Oscar and Kairi Sane being methodical and toying with them, that's not their characters toying with them. That is Alexa Bliss can't keep up with our shit, can't counter. She does fucking athletic gymnastic moves. You could see what she did outside the ring. She does the dive and she's like, oh, here we go. If you would have had a diving mat, one of those cushions on the floor, and you thought there was the Olympics in the background and she was going to try out for some gymnastics competition, she ran up to that like she was going to start doing flips and everything and hold her hands in the air and expect a 9.7. Alexa Bliss can't go. And it's nothing against her. Her style, to me, is not... If you're going to have her as a champion, you cannot have Kairi Sane or Asuka or women like that on... in that division competing for titles also. Because Alexa Bliss, especially Alexa Bliss, she exposes, she forces Kairi Sane and Asuka to wrestle methodical, to wrestle slow, to, you know, it's just, I didn't like it at all. It really just, I mean, if anybody looks at Asuka's previous work and Kairi Sane, I mean, come on. I mean, Asuka even had better matches with fucking... who's red, all red every time that left? Holy shit, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. Eva Marie,
there you go.
Oh my God,
I forgot all about her.
Asuka had better matches with Eva Marie. And if you think I'm lying, go back and watch it.
Yeah, listen, you know, I've defended Alexa Bliss too. I was under the guise that she was better than she is. I defended her maybe because she had character, but in the last year and a half, I'm saying, wow, a lot of podcasts, a lot of our fellow podcasters are hard on her. And I'm like, well, you know, because she's like blonde, privileged girl, millennial, brat. But or, no, Kev, it's because she can't wrestle. She's terrible. And I'd say, really? Is she that bad? I maybe just had blinders on the way some people have blinders on for other wrestlers. She's not one of my personal favorites. I just never focused on how not ready for prime time she was, DT, and that she was privileged and was getting a lot of props by the powers that be in the back. I don't know, basically because of looks, or she just rubs people the right way, not in a sexual way.
She's not, you know what I mean, bad.
No, not terrible. She's not terrible, but she's not. She's showing these cracks in the foundation. She's just made a good example tonight. She's up against two very good workers, and she can't hold her own.
I mean, look at what WWE's done with the Iconics. Since they lost the belts, what have they done? Other than fucking taking?
Are they still here? I didn't even know they're still here.
They're still around. But the point is that you can't have it both ways. And the problem is that when you try to commingle it, you know, you get just it does not click. It does not gel. The Iconics, it was horrendous, and I don't blame them personally for it. But I mean, WWE, they had like one title defense in like 3 months when they had the titles. It was just god awful. This is pathetic. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy that they got it. Asuka bringing back the green mist a la Great Kabuki, Great Muda.
Great Muda. Yeah, they probably mentioned Great Muda.
Yeah, which was great. And they get the win. Now, I'm wondering, is it possible that maybe Sasha Banks and Bayley end up on the same brand and maybe they challenge the Kabuki Warriors for the tag titles? Maybe you take Sasha and Bayley and put them back as a tag team. You know, maybe you have the Whiners versus the Kabuki Warriors.
I like that. The Whiners, the bathroom floor Whiners, man. They should have that.
The Whiners. Hey, you know what? You might have just accidentally backed into something. Maybe the emotional over the top stuff. Maybe that is a little shot as to the certain individuals on the internet that said that they were on the floor like bears, bearskin rugs, pouting and screaming and tearing up the, like, you know, like little children. Yeah. Maybe they're playing off on that.
They could. Well, you see, we'll get to it. But the way Bayley getting na-na-na-na goodbye chants from the crowd. Wow. In California. I mean, where she's from, I mean, that was interesting to me. Now, granted, she's supposed to be a fucking heel, even though she's acting like a baby face and having the inflatable tube men and doing her shtick that she normally does. But she was pouting at the end of her match, too, DT.
The fans turned on her because of her great work. I guess, you know, let's talk about that match because it's right. We'll go two matches ahead.
But we'll agree that the uneventful title change, but it meant guts, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. Look, for those who took part in the Patreon predictions contest, the tiebreaker was the Bayley-Charlotte match. The unofficial time that I timed was 10 minutes, 13 seconds. Before we get into the particulars of the match, what Bayley did right at the end is Bayley, their match was right before the main event. So the fans were really excited. They wanted to see Yowie Wowie. So When Bayley loses, if she would have gotten up, she lost or whatever, she could be mad, whatever it is, and then start walking to the back, the fans would not have turned on her. But the problem was she sat there. By design, she sat there. She sat there. Charlotte's music ended. She started pouting. She sat there. And the fans are now like, you even heard some people go, Yowie, Wowie. They want to get the fuck up. Go in the back. We want to see the main event. Get the fuck up. You know, we know it's scripted, but get the fuck up.
Go lie down in the locker room.
Yeah, go lie down in the locker room. She even did have a Tampa tantrum. Remember?
She did.
She banged the ring steps.
She did. You're right.
But the match was decent. I mean, again, you know, Charlotte and Bayley go back many, many years. Yeah. So they know how to work each other. And I thought it was a great match. Not their best work, but it was a great match because the size difference and because Charlotte is so fucking on a different scale, in my opinion, to a lot of women. You know, to make Bayley and Charlotte give you that suspension of disbelief, they know Bayley works on the leg. The only thing I didn't like, and again, it's nitpicking, is Charlotte, she's playing off that her left leg is hurt. And they're talking about it, and she's shaking it off. And then all of a sudden, she just, jumps out of the ring, throws Bayley's leg into the ring post, and she's running around, and she's not limping at all. Just split-second change. And it wasn't like she was doing an Eddie Guerrero fake. They were selling that she was hurt. And then just totally, it's almost like she forgot that a leg was hurt. And then she goes back in the ring and starts favoring again. And I didn't like that.
No, I didn't like it either. But it's true. When you watch them lock up, it's like you're at Charlotte just looms larger than life. Even though they're equal to a degree, it's just the perception is that Charlotte is a bigger deal. So, yeah, she won. And I'm glad Charlotte won. Everyone's like, oh, Charlotte again, boring. There's no one else to give it to, and please don't say Ember Moon. She's not over. I mean, give it to someone who's going to loom larger than life and who the SmackDown is going to, it's going to be perceived as a star.
Listen, I'm going to say this. I've said it before, but I'll say it clear as day now, and it will annoy people, fans of Shimmer, AEW, Japan, whatever promotion, WOW, whatever it is. But I'll say it again now. Charlotte, to me, is the greatest women's wrestler in the last 20 years, at least. And I know Asuka is more talented, and I know that there's some other women out there that some of you out there may feel is a little more talented than Charlotte. And yes, once in a while, she'll botch a moonsault, and this and that. But when you look at everything about Charlotte, her presence, her charisma, her mic skills, her in-ring ability, just everything about her, the look, she looks like a star. She acts like a star. She's cocky. She's got the outfit. She's got the mic work. She went against Trish Stratus, and she fucking owned Trish Stratus on the mic. But even though Trish Stratus is never known to be great promo cutter, Charlotte just has a presence. All right, Asuka is a hell of a lot better of a wrestler, but she can't talk. She doesn't have the same charisma. There's certain things missing. Most women out there, they're usually missing one particular tool. But Charlotte is a 5-tool player or a 6-tool player, I think some people say. To me, Charlotte is the number one female in wrestling the last 20, 25 years. And look, and some people may say, well, what about Medusa? Medusa is a little bit, Medusa is more late 80s, early 90s. Medusa was still doing great in WWF in the early 93, 94-ish, around there. But she was still towards, maybe a little bit, maybe she was at her peak or starting to decline a little bit because Medusa didn't have much of an in-ring career. after 95. You know, she did.
Even before that, Dee, not to cut you off, she was the woman, the female, the Sherry Martel in the Dangerous Alliance for a year and a half.
Yeah.
She was taken out of the ring. She did bikini contests in 93 against Missy Hyatt.
Yeah.
I mean, so she wasn't doing shit for a long time. Yeah. Charlotte is a wrestler.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not, trust me, if I go 30 years, then I have to really think about it. But I'd say since 1995. Charlotte is number one.
Now, I agree with you.
Not even close. So putting the title again, going into the Fox deal with the number one woman in the company, she was being interviewed all over TV all week. I saw her on Fox News. I saw her on Fox Sports. I saw her on other stations. And she's got a presence about her. And not only that, I know she's got this certain character and persona in the ring. You see her get interviewed outside the ring and she talks about her brother Reed. She talks about how she got bitten by the wrestling bug and this and that. She comes off really, really classy. And
she does.
Yeah. So and please, you know, don't bring up her ass or you feel she had plastic surgery. I'm talking about Charlotte Flair, the wrestler.
You own a wrestling company and you can afford any woman. You're going after Charlotte Flair, basically.
Yeah, she would be number one on my list. So, okay. But she defeated Bayley, and Bayley with the extra whining after the match was over, and we'll see, you know, if that turns into a little more of a character for both Sasha and Bayley, and we'll see if they challenge the fucking Kabuki Warriors. Excuse me. So
yeah, that should be interesting. Yeah, if they could do that.
Yeah. Next, we had, to me, it was a filler match. And this was designed for one reason only. For tomorrow night, Braun Strowman and Tyson Fury having that little back and forth. we had the OC lose to Strowman and the Viking Raiders by DQ. After the match was over, Braun Strowman punched out AJ Styles a la the Big Show type knockout punch.
Yes,
and
that's remind me of.
Yeah. That's all this was designed to do. Is to make it feel a little bit more legitimate when he goes up against Tyson Fury and whatever is going to take place on Raw. AJ Styles was hilarious after. I mean, him not being able to stand up was funny, but he's like, where are we? What day is it? You know, what did I do? Like, he just really tried to play off that he didn't know where the fuck he was, and he kept stumbling. It was over the top, but I laughed. I liked it.
I liked it. Another giving top guy who's giving of himself, who doesn't mind making himself look like a fool, right, DT? What he did with Steve Austin and stuff. AJ, what can I do? How do I get somebody over? What can I do? That's what I love about AJ Styles, too. These guys are so giving of themselves, not worried about how they look and their spots. He was acting, you know, like he was like loopy, and it was funny. He did a good job.
Yeah. AJ Styles, I'll repeat, I am very, very sorry for, you know, that last stint at TNA where we were just, you know, thought the guy was just, I mean, just really turned, just changed my mind completely.
Me too.
But, you know, the match, again, designed for what's going to go down tomorrow. Street Profits once again backstage talking a little bit. But we did have some 24/7 title changes. And for the record, for everybody doing the contest, the number of title changes tonight was exactly 3. We had the SmackDown Women's Championship change hands. We had the 24/7 title change hands twice. Carmella was the champion going in.
Right.
I guess WWE figured, okay, the idea of having the women chase each other is not going to work. I was hoping for some woman with big titties trying to run after the belt and just seeing things going up and down like, you know, like airplane back in the day with the Jello. But we had Tamina beat Carmella to become the 24/7 champion. Right away, I went right on Mish's Twitter, and yeah, I knew he was going to comment about because Mish.
I spoke to him in the party chat for that they had going.
Yeah, Mish very vocal about Tamina. Tamina is your 24/7 champion for a little while. Then basically towards the end, we had Tyler Breeze. I wonder if some people even knew that was him for a minute. Blocked Tamina's path. Tamina punches out Tyler Breeze. R-Truth, you know, has no idea that he just lost the 20. Who lost the 24/7 title to Tamina? Was it Carmella? Or was it? It was Carmella, right?
It's Carmella.
Yeah, it was Carmella. So R-Truth just had no idea what was going on. But later on, R-Truth pins Tamina to get the 24/7 title back. And that's pretty much it. So now...
Well, can I say something? Ben from G-Town is saying the same thing I was thinking. Was that Tyler Breeze? It didn't look like
him. Yeah, a few people said that was Tyler Breeze. I didn't think it was Tyler Breeze. He looked awfully tall for Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, guys, that wasn't Tyler Breeze. Who the fuck was that? That wasn't Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't Tyler Breeze because a lot of people said it was Tyler Breeze. I looked at him. I was like, he's awfully tall for Tyler Breeze. Not Funaki. I think I know what Funaki looks like. I mean, come on, without me trying to like just have any racial overtones. Yeah, no. Look at this patron name. I hate the white man. He says it was Tyler Breeze. Yeah, hey, who knows? Maybe it was Tyler Breeze. I have no idea.
Wow, didn't look like, he must have got his head dyed. He looked taller.
I mean,
he did.
Bottom line is, Tamina beat Carmella for the 24/7 title. Later on, R-Truth beat Tamina. So now the 24/7 title is back on a man.
Yep, that is.
So we won't have the women running after each other again for the title. Carmella let R-Truth pin Tamina, by the way.
Correct.
Yeah. So, it was what it was. I mean, the comedy stuff. I'm sure people on the predictions contest were not happy about it.
Probably not.
Next, we had Chad Gable beating Baron Corbin. I think a lot of people saw this a mile away when the match progressed. The way Corbin was just tormenting Gable. Now, apparently, they are going to keep calling him Shorty Gable.
Yeah, I know. Ridiculous.
I don't know. You know, I think it's stupid on the surface, but it reminds me of like a name you would give someone back in the 20s. Hey, what the fuck, man? Did you call Shorty Gable? Get my money back, you know? Like Shorty Gable sounds like a nickname you would give a gangster guy would give someone. The only difference is that, you know, where I come from, somebody wouldn't have the name Gable. It would be like Gabliano or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. You didn't trust anybody that wasn't Italian. That's what the mob was back in the day. That's why if you watch Goodfellas, that's why Henry Hill could never be made because, you know, he wasn't completely Sicilian.
That's true.
Yeah, was he Jewish? I think it was Jewish, Henry Hill.
But he was Irish.
Yeah, he was Irish. But, his wife was Jewish.
Yeah, he married. She was Jewish.
Yeah, she was Jewish. But Chad Gable gets the win. Corbin was tormenting him during the match. They obviously have some good chemistry together, but the more Corbin tormented, you kind of felt like Gable was going to get the roll up. And sure enough, Gable rolled up Baron Corbin to beat him 12 minutes.
I mean, it was okay. I mean, you know, Chad got a little reaction and stuff, you know, and then of course in the back later on during an interview segment, Corbin beat the fuck out of him. So, you know, he got his heat back.
Yeah, he got his heat back. Now you'd think WWE's getting a little too overconfident about King Corbin. I mean, King Corbin had a lot of momentum going into King of the Ring. Even before they announced who was going to be in King of the Ring, I thought him winning it was the right way to go. But now since he's won it, I know he's supposed to get under your skin. Him wearing the crown, it's supposed to annoy you. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're looking at him and you're saying, that's still Baron Corbin. And I didn't really like him before. And yes, he's improved, but I still don't really want to see him on my television all that much. I was very surprised we didn't get an AEW chance during this match.
Yeah, that would have been the time. But as you said, DT, maybe people were kind of enjoying themselves, even if they were waiting. They knew the next match is what they came here to see. And then and it wound up being the worst match, which we'll get into. So I guess maybe they were just having Chad Gable winning this match. Okay, but, you know, the next match is the match we all came here for. And little did they know what was to come.
Well, the thing with Gable and Corbin, some people are asking, do we think this storyline will continue? I got news for you. When the draft happens, you may have Gable and Corbin on two different brands. So the storyline will be forced to split apart. And sometimes the draft is a great way to abruptly end storylines that you can't figure out how to end. Sometimes you have a storyline and it's going nowhere. And that's why sometimes they just get dropped because they just don't go anywhere. So this might be WWE's way of like, okay, we don't want to continue that feud any further. So, all right. So, and look, I still think they may have another match on TV before the draft is completely over. But if they don't, they could just have them drafted to different brands, and that forces the feud to end.
You know, I agree with you. I think that's, yeah, that's probably going to be the case. That's probably exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. And we already talked about Bayley versus Charlotte, which followed. And then we had the main event, which was Seth Rollins. I don't even know what to look. I know we already talked about a majority of the match at the beginning of this broadcast.
But let's say this: Rollins didn't get much of a reaction when he came out. But again, the Fiend's Fiend got a good reaction. But the Fiend's presentation of coming out with the head with the lantern in, which we both like, you know, bought the same lantern out that he bought in his debut match, and you know, it's a real you know, captivating entrance. So the entrance was good, but DT, we didn't talk about this. What'd you think about the red light?
I was going to bring that up now. I didn't like it. It felt like WWE trying to give the horror movie feel, the eeriness. I'm surprised they didn't have like smoke coming around out of the floors. I mean, if you're going to have, first of all, you go back and you watch highlights of this, or you look at a best of, it looks so freaking stupid to have everything red. You know, I can see if it's an entrance, but to have the whole match that way, I didn't like it at all. And then you add on top of it the garbage that we got. And what was sad about it is at the beginning of the match, it felt like it was going to be violent, brutal. Yeah. You felt Bray Wyatt was going to do the Undertaker two counts, you know, where he, not necessarily that he would get up like the Undertaker, but keep getting out like a killer in a science fiction movie, like a Jason or Michael Myers. No matter what you do, he keeps getting up. The problem is, and this is WWE rolling the dice one too many times. All right, the curb stomp is a pretty impressive move. Yeah, Seth Rollins needed to hit fucking 18 curb stomps onto Brock Lesnar to win the title. Up, Braun Strowman needed to hit fucking 95 curb stomps onto Braun Strowman. You keep doing that same formula match after match after match. Oh, okay, I'll keep hitting 5-6 curb stomps one after the other, and then I'll get the three count. Fans are fucking sick of that. You do it match. You do it for one match because it's the Beast. You don't know how else to tame the beast, fine. When it now becomes a generic fucking flurry of moves, it was uncreative. It was not good. I am very happy that the fans shit all over it. But at the same time, though, again, this is the second year in a row that this is what, look, let's be honest. WWE pay-per-views go back to 1984.
All right.
I think it's safe to say, and please, people, do not give me Lawrence Taylor versus fucking Bam Bam Bigelow. That is totally unfair, and I actually like that match. But if you look at the history of WWE/WWF pay-per-views, this match tonight has got to be in the top five of the worst pay-per-view main events of all time. And last year's Hell in a Cell is in that top five also.
Punjabi prison match would be up there too, right?
Punjabi prison, was that the final match of the night though?
Does anybody remember, guys? Punjabi prison.
If it was, that could be in the top five. Yeah, that. I mean, the Khali came out. You know, it just didn't make. It was just dumb. It was uncreative.
Yeah.
But the idea of Rollins is supposed to be one of the top performers, and he is a top performer. But Rollins having this look. In the ring that he doesn't know what else to do. And this and what angered me more than anything, it had nothing to do with Rollins. It had nothing to do with Bray Wyatt. But as I'm watching this match, I'm thinking of Undertaker Mick Foley. I'm thinking of Shawn Michaels. I'm thinking of all the Hell in a Cell matches from yesteryear. And Seth Rollins pulls out a sledgehammer. Sledgehammer that Triple H is used in Hell in a Cell matches and other things.
Right.
Whoever came up with this idea that the referee says to him, "You're better than this. You're a champ." Whoever said that in the back should be tied to a table and have someone take the sledgehammer. I don't care if it's balls, testicles, ovaries. I don't care if it's somebody who used to have balls and don't anymore. Whoever it is should get smashed in their groin area as hard as possible. Hell in a Cell, the storyline of Hell in a Cell for all of these years is that it's a life-changing event. You're never right. The same after. Anything goes. And the idea that a referee is telling another person, don't do this with this particular move, you're better than that. Are you a referee or are you a fucking psychologist? You know what I mean? Whoever came up with that idea really should be fired from WWE. A referee, it's a no fucking anything goes. And the referee trying to stop. So this is Hell in a Cell. It was whoever came up with this, really, you should be embarrassed for yourselves. And this is not me just complaining because I've been praising a lot about wrestling for quite some time now. And a lot of people just focus on the negative shit that said. But whoever came up with that really should be fired. Really should be fired. That was just god-awful garbage.
They lost the crowd at some point. Rollins, you could see it when he was in the corner. It wasn't a wrestling look. He gave a look like he was kind of lost. When he was doing the stomp, Bray Wyatt's head wasn't getting up in enough time for it to go back down when he put his foot on the back of his head. If you guys notice, some of those stomps were off-key. He knew he lost the crowd. The crowd was booing heavily. Rollins got rattled. Which I got to give credit, and I've seen that happen to Roman Reigns too, when he was getting mega boos at one point when he was in the ring. It looked like he was getting lost, and I can rattle anybody, and I think Rollins got rattled, and even Wyatt was not, the timing was off on some of those stomps, and it looked ineffective. I think, who was it, Red Anzone or somebody, is that you guy? I can't, your thing scrolled up, said it's like a transition move at this point. I agree. They lost the crowd. Rollins knew it. You know, you can't tell Wyatt's expression because he's wearing a fucking mask and he's on the floor half the time. But Rollins' face told the story. This is not going well. And it looked like a mess. Even putting all those chairs and everything in the DT, it looked like a clusterfuck. I don't know what was going on.
I'm curious if Paul Heyman came up with that he's doing creative now for Raw. I wonder if he came up with that. As much as I am, big time with Paul Heyman, I fucking love his work for decades. Right. I would even say if somebody said to me that was all Paul Heyman, well, he should be embarrassed for himself. I think he had a little bit too much fucking, Jewish wine or something. Maybe he thought it was Russia Homa, and maybe he didn't even think of the storyline. He's like, I gotta go home, Russia Homa. Just horrendous. It was god awful, and
I don't even know how many stomps that was. It was about 10 stomps, 12 stomps.
It's WWE.
Bray wasn't getting up in enough time to even, and he was going down. Seth's leg went up really high and pushed him down, but he didn't take the full bump on the mask. It looked like it was ineffective.
Even if it was effective, this is WWE rolling the dice one too many pay-per-views with the idea of keep doing curb stomps until the person can't get up anymore. I mean, obviously, the finish was that Seth was going to cross the line and do something that is just not even wrestling. That the referee is just forced to just throw it out.
I thought he was going to kill him. Basically, he's going to murder him right down the middle of the ring.
It's just tremendous. And then the idea of the special effects where Seth Rollins is spitting up and throwing up blood. Good. Yeah. Good, seriously.
Fucking good.
Rip a hole. The only thing I regret, and whoever came up with the question, and we've kind of talked about it before, but whoever came up with the question on Breakfast Soup, I gave him a prize for it. But I don't understand why WWE didn't pay a few bucks and have some artist within the last month make the fucking lantern with Seth Rollins's head. And the last promo that Bray Wyatt did, they could have just had the camera, just everything go dark and just have that camera focusing on the lantern with the smoke coming out of it. And it's Seth Rollins's face with his fucking eyes rolled in the back of his head. That would have been such an unbelievable visual. And that would have, in storyline, would have given a legit reason for Seth Rollins to be creeped out. But for him cutting a promo and saying, I got to burn it down tonight, or at least I need to try, whatever he said, shut the fuck up. He is now Roman Rollins. I'm from now on.
Roman Rollins.
I'm undecided if I want to call him Seth freaking Scaredy Cat or Roman Rollins. But I think I'm leaning towards Roman Rollins. From now on, I'm calling him Roman Rollins. In fact, I want everybody listening, let's start from flooding the net, flooding social media now, calling him Roman Rollins. You know, or you could use Seth freaking Scaredy Cat, but he's Roman Rollins. He's now the Roman Reigns without the leukemia.
Yeah, well, and in fairness to Reigns, he doesn't get treated like that anymore. And it must be something between the two where he goes in the locker room to be like, see what I go through now or see what I went through with the booking. And it's
And it's nothing against Rollins personally. I mean, the guy is a huge defender of WWE, and he works his ass off.
He's definitely a company man. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, DT, is he the guy to you know, are they going to finally, as someone said, is this experiment over with him as the top guy?
It's not an experiment. This has been going on for years.
That's what someone says. No, someone said that online. It was pretty funny. They go, experiment that lasts several years.
Yeah.
But they said, well, didn't Roman Reigns experiment last several years? Good point.
It's not an experiment after a couple of years. You know, when you test something out and then you decide to run with it for 4 years, 5 years, and you got tens of millions of dollars in, you know, events and other stuff invested in it, that's no longer an experiment. They thought that they can win the fans over. Look, Roman Reigns, as time goes by, people start, you know, it happened to John Cena. It happened to Triple H. Triple H, I mean, I wish you guys were around during the hotline days in 2000.
Yep, he got booed a lot, guys.
I mean, it gets to a point where the fans warm up, and that's slowly going to happen with Roman Reigns. Right now, WWE is totally, the whole burn it down thing, It's just fans wanting to be, you know, interactive with the show. But, there's nothing about Seth Rollins burning it down. And, you know, what are we going to have next? We're going to have Jake the Snake Roberts fucking telling, you know, Seth Rollins, hey, you want to overcome the Fiend? Trust me. And you fucking put him in the grave. Yeah. You know, I trust you, Snake Man. People know where I'm going with that. You can't do that. You can't do that with Seth Rollins. You can't use freaking... or effing, I'm Seth freaking Rollins. I'm Seth effing Rollins. Burn it down. And then do all of this. You totally fucked all of that.
There's no longer any of that. No, it's true. And Ben, you're right. He did used to be over as a heel. He is bombing as a babyface. And I think in the annals of history, this is one of the worst matches ever. And I think they have to turn Rollins. But again, who can replace him on Raw? And if they're putting everything into SmackDown... If you don't think he'll get drafted, no chance, DT, that he'll go to SmackDown.
I don't know. It's going to depend on how they proportion it. Look, it can't be. It cannot be whoever Fox wants, they get. It can't be like that. At the end of the day, it's an entertainment company. And Fox understands that WWE also has commitments for Raw, for USA Network, for that brand, and they're not going to totally ruin Raw to make SmackDown that much better. I still will say SmackDown will be the flagship show for Raw instead of Raw for the foreseeable future. But that doesn't mean that all for the last two decades SmackDown was fucked over it. SmackDown just felt like the secondary show. Now what's going to happen is, look, Raw will always be, in a lot of people's eyes, the flagship show because it's the first day after a weekend, it's live, and because we always tune in on Monday nights, we're used to it. So always have that feel. On Friday nights, not everybody's home, and plus, since this is not just cable TV, this is regular network TV, there's going to be some limitations from time to time. But WWE, as far as characters go, investment, they're going to have more of the top names on SmackDown than Raw. But, you know, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch may end up the, you know, two of the major names on Raw. With Charlotte on SmackDown, you know, Becky and Sasha, one of them needs to go to SmackDown too. Because, you know, when I said many months ago that the Four Horsewomen are going to be the focal point of the women's division for the foreseeable future. You can put Natty on TV every week if you want. You can put anybody else. But at the end of the day, those four women are the only women right now that WWE has any real investment in. So you need some go-to matches on Fox. So it's going to be Charlotte versus one of those other three women. It's either going to be Charlotte versus Sasha, Charlotte versus Becky, or Charlotte versus Bayley. And I understand we've had Bayley recently. And if you remember, Charlotte, Becky was fucking all over last summer, which led to WrestleMania with Rousey. And don't forget, Rousey ultimately is going to be back on TV too. And Rousey, it's almost a given that she's going to be going to Fox. So Rousey being on Fox, you might have Becky, Rousey, Charlotte too happening on Fox down the line. So one of those women is going to be drafted to SmackDown. The question is, will it be Becky? And if it is Becky, will Seth follow her?
Well, DT, do you think now after what happened with, and I know what you're going to say, this first thing, don't read anything into that. There's a lot of things to go here with this Wednesday Night Wars. Putting so much into SmackDown, NXT being number two, is Raw going to be the forgotten child? They're not going to let it fall apart. Never. But are they still going to consider, but do you believe they're not going to say it, but it's not the flagship anymore? SmackDown.
Well, that's what I've been saying all night.
But they'll never publicly, like that's behind the scenes, it's the flagship.
Nobody would ever say the 20 years that SmackDown was a secondary show over there. Yeah. They just, as far as perception goes, they're going to put more eggs in the basket on SmackDown than they are on Raw. That's all it is. Raw is going to be the new SmackDown, and SmackDown's going to be the new Raw.
That's really
what it is. I mean, you know, we'll see where it goes. But tomorrow night's is going to be Raw, and some of what we talked about tonight may end up happening. It may not, you know, but tomorrow Raw, this Friday will be SmackDown, and we'll see.
Wednesday.
We'll see where it goes. Wednesday. We got Wednesday night Dynamite, and thank you everybody for. Man, that blew up quick, but that's going to be a lot of fun. But hey, we got an interesting week of wrestling coming up. We'll see who else shows up on NXT, and I'm curious to see if CM Punk ends up being reintroduced to the WWE fans, even though he's not wrestling right now.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be that announcer on the Fox show.
I already came up with the scenario. I could picture it, even though it may not happen and probably won't happen. I could picture Kevin Owens coming out there and say, you know, even though he, you know, let's bring him out one more time. Let's bring out the best in the world one more time, you know, and you have Greg Hamilton do the whole best in the world thing. But everybody thinks Shane McMahon's music is a hit, and instead it's CM Punk's music, and Kevin Owens brings out the real best in the world. Not only is it a cool way to bring back CM Punk to say hello to WWE fans, but it also ends the best in the world storyline for Shane McMahon. Nah. The best in the world has returned, and the true best in the world. We'll see if it happens.
I like it.
All right. So we already said favorite match, Sasha, Becky. What was your least favorite?
The main event. Absolutely disgusting. I hated it. And people are sending me, and I'm sure you too, we have our little friends who send us stuff in private messages of clips that might not be available to the public. My friend sent me a video of the crowd outside saying, chanting AEW outside the arena. So I mean, everyone was mad. They were disappointed. There's no shock to me. This is not anything that I didn't think is going to be a ton of clips tomorrow of a very angry post audience. I'm not surprised.
Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give the pay per view?
Jesus, being fair and isolating the main event, maybe. Well,
just scale 1 to 10 from beginning to end.
Because of the main event, 6. I would have given a 7 because of the way it ended. 6.
Well, I'll give it a 5.5. And the reason why, I almost leaned to a 5, but Becky Sasha really did an awesome job. Tornado tag team was decent. Kabuki Warriors, even though the match was blah, they have the titles, which is good. Randy Orton Ali was fine. The 6-man tag was whatever. Corbin Gable was whatever. Bayley Charlotte was ah. And the main event was just god awful. 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, I think would be almost a little below average. I have to give it a 5. And it's just a shame that for 2 years in a row, and I invite anybody to go see for yourself, look at the pattern of the Raw rating after that Hell in a Cell main event last year. you will see a clear-cut pattern of ratings decline. It may not have had anything to do with that, but to me, I believe after just having the bullshit finish, I think it just a lot of fans were just fed up and just became disinterested. It just gave wrestling fans another reason why WWE Live is not a priority anymore. Want to watch it on Hulu? Fine. You want to watch it on YouTube? Fine. But tuning in live on Mondays, it's a lot of other things to do. And it's fucking sad because this is the number one billion-dollar company. And it feels almost like, you know, was there a Connors Cure auction that's, you know, the winner gets to book the main event tonight? I don't know what it was. I don't know who came up with that. It just, to me, in the end, it feels like we have a draft in a week. We have Crown Jewel in 3 weeks, which is a big money grab from WWE. So we need to somehow get by Hell in a Cell without having any major changes. That's what it felt like. And I think they felt like they had absolutely no one else to face Seth Rollins. You weren't going to go Strowman. You weren't going to go Lesnar. Who else are you going to go with? It felt like The Fiend by default. And as I said last week, as I said on Breakfast Soup, as I said on Friday, don't be surprised if WWE does not give the belt to The Fiend right now because it may be a little too soon and you will end up with a bullshit finish.
Yeah, you're right. I'm calm now an hour later, but the ending sucked. I don't even want to watch again. Normally I go back and watch stuff again. I'll watch the opening match again. I really enjoyed Sasha against Becky, but I maybe take a little gander at some. I'm going to watch some of the clips that people sent me of the audience outside in the crowd acting up. Nobody's arrested or anything. It's not like it was a riotous situation, but there was, people acting a fool outside because they were pissed off. And that's not surprising. I'm sure we'll hear a lot about it as we all go and do other things now. Well, but thank you, DT.
Yeah. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Now I want to just, make everybody understand, you know, we already covered a lot of other topics. We already covered some other things outside of Hell in a Cell. So tomorrow, you know, when we don't get into particular topics, it's because it's already been covered. Right. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what goes down on Raw tomorrow. Obviously, Raw will probably be much better than tonight's pay-per-view, but talk about a forget. That's just a god-awful.
Are they still, anybody know if they're still in California tomorrow night? Are they still in Cali in that area? Does anybody in the chat room know where they're going to be at Raw? Anybody know where they're going to be at Raw tomorrow night?
You almost feel like they have to be. Because it would be way too much of a travel, especially with the 3 hour time difference. They got to be in Cali tomorrow, or maybe Arizona or somewhere around there.
They'll definitely be in the West Coast. I'm not sure if they're going to be in California. Yeah, California's so fast though.
Yeah, nobody is responding fast enough, so we'll know tomorrow. So,
all right, guys. All right, we'll catch everybody tomorrow. Thanks, DT. Yeah. Have a good night.
All right, talk to you tomorrow.
Peace.
Later. Everyone, have a great night. And if you're looking to download tonight's episode and you tune in live, it'll be online in a few minutes. And we'll be back once again the third week in November for Survivor Series. We'll be back for Crown Jewel, which will be, I think, Halloween, October 31st. So everyone, be well. Definitely send your feedback. Follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD, the website, DonTony.com. Make sure you tune in Wednesday to Wednesday night, Donomite. Was an interesting week with that show, and I kind of got a lot of the tweaks done, and it's going to be a fabulous show this Wednesday, so definitely look out for that. I'll catch you all soon. Take care, everyone. Be well. Ciao.
Support the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show on Patreon. Get access to thousands of hours of back episodes. Get bonus episodes
and exclusive shows. Castle Chronicles.
Breakfast Soup.
Pay-per-view recaps. DVDs.
Beer koozies. Tattoos.
And more.
Support the show that's entertained millions for over 16 years. Patreon.com/Don Tony. Once again, Patreon.com/Don Tony.